This is Mandy.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blunts Loose. All right, today we are on episode 16.
I think so.
Yeah. 16. Leanne, you are going to...
So I'm going to tell you a story tonight about Christian Andreathio. You ever heard that one before?
No.
Heard his name? Okay. So it's a story that I heard a while back. The whole thing happened in 2014. Mm-hmm. And I've always been kind of intrigued by it. There's a couple of podcasts out there, but not much. The biggest voice in this case is really his mom and dad. So... Christian was 21 years old. He lived in Meridian, Mississippi. He lived there his whole life, his family did. And on February the 26th of 2014, Christian was found dead in his apartment from a single gunshot wound to the head.
Mm-hmm.
And it was immediately ruled a suicide.
Okay, that's what I was thought.
Yeah. After listening to all the stuff and all the reading, and it's not just me, it's
a lot of people who think that's not true.
Well, that's
kind of a, was it murder? Or was it suicide?
So, like I said, Christian was a 21-year-old kid, lived with his parents on the lake. He loved the water. He had a great relationship with his family. He was very outgoing. He was really very charismatic. When he graduated from high school, he always knew that he wanted to be like a tugboat captain. And so that's what he did. When he was 18, he got a job at Magnolia Marine in Meridian. And very quickly rose up through the ranks to be, was well on his way to being the youngest tugboat captain that they've ever had in Marine. So his parents are Todd and Ray, and then he has two siblings, Alexis and Josh. Josh is older, Alexis is younger.
Mm-hmm. He's middle child.
So Christian had recently gotten out of a long-term relationship with a really sweet girl he'd known all of his life. They dated for a really long time. They kind of split ways amicably. Shortly after that, he crosses paths with a girl named Whitley Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
And they start dating. And Whitley is a little bit different than kind of the background that Christian has. Christian comes from a very stable family, very loving family. No dramas or anything. So she did not come from that kind of family.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess she was having some issues at home. So Christian asked, hey, can Whitley move in with us? Ray, from all that I've listened to, I think she and I probably get along pretty well. She never turns on anything, always wants to help somebody. So she lets Whitley move in with them. And at this time, I think Christian was 20, and I think Whitley was 17.
Okay.
So she was still in high school. There's a lot of problems at home and stuff like that. So things just didn't work out the way they expected them to with her there. Like Christian was working on the tugboat. He would go on, they're called hitches, like 30 days at a time, he'd be gone. But so when he wasn't there, she wasn't there either. So Ray starts thinking, does she really not have anywhere to go? Which is really weird. She wasn't going to school, wasn't doing all this stuff. And then she just started doing some really strange things. Like there was a picture of Christian and his ex-girlfriend there in the house. And Whitley walked into Ray's bedroom, I think, and had stabbed the eyes out of his ex-girlfriend and threw it on her bed.
Okay.
Just like kind of really
That's crazy. A red flag.
Yeah, some serious red flag stuff. So basically Ray said, look, she can't live here anymore. That's too much. So she moved out, I guess moved back in with her grandmother. And then eventually Ray let her come back because Christian was just, I guess, miserable that she wasn't there, whatever. Let her come back. And then she ends up giving Alexis, his younger sister, Xanax. So that's when Ray was like, y'all have to go. So at this point, his older brother, Josh, has an apartment in Meridian. And he had just recently gone through a divorce. So he lived by himself and needed a roommate. So he asked Christian to move in with him. And of course, Whitley trots on behind him. Apparently.
Still 17, 18 was
yeah.
last time.
Yeah. And this all happens within a matter of months. And so she moves into the apartment with them. And like I said, he was gone for, 30 days at a time. Josh also worked on the boat too.
Okay.
So most of the time, either Christian was there or Josh was there. She was never really there alone for much of the time. But all of these, when he was gone on the hitches, he would get phone calls and she's doing all these things. And it was just constant fights and constant battles. And he'd been telling everybody that he was going to break up with her.
Because they were dating. I don't know if I got that. They were in a romantic relationship.
Yes, yes.
Just a friend.
No. They were dating. Sorry. And so he was going to, break it off with her. I mean, he took total care of her. I mean, she drove a BMW. He paid for her food or school supplies or makeup or everything that she needed. She didn't really have to do anything. But I think he suspected that she was smoking weed or stuff like that and had asked Josh to give her a drug test when he was out of town. And she refused to do that because she said she would, test positive for Xanax, which apparently she was a big fan of. So he had just pretty much had it. Had actually looked for work somewhere else and was going to just move away and start over just because I think it was just too much. But he was really, he wasn't like a depressed person, no, nothing like that. I mean, he was just done with her. So on the 26th of February, 2014, they were both, Josh and his brother Josh, and he were both on the boat working. And then, so Christian gets a call on the boat. It's just constant calls from Whitley and this other guy who is a friend of his named Dylan Swearinger. Calling, Dylan's calling saying Whitley's not there and that she spent the night with some guy named Matt and it's all this drama with whatever. So he's done. He's fed up. So he figures out a way to get off the boat, which apparently is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
You're on a tugboat in the middle of the Mississippi River. But he does. He calls Dylan to come pick him up because actually he didn't have, I guess he didn't have a car because Dylan had, I mean, basically I think Dylan was kind of living there too. And had wrecked his truck. And so he didn't have, I mean, he was just kind of floating these two people and I think he was just over it. So he told the lady that he called it his tugboat mama, Cheryl, I think, that he had to go get her out. And Dylan came and picked him up in Louisiana that morning where he got off the boat. And I think they arrived back in Meridian, like around 11:30 that morning. And there was nothing was said. And then probably around, I want to say like 4:30 that afternoon was when his parents got a call and said something bad's happened. And his mom said she was just really confused. Like, I don't know. I mean, what would have happened? Josh is on the boat. Christian's on the boat. Alexis is at church. It's not one of my kids.
Yeah.
And they actually called his grandfather first. And so anyway, end up showing her his driver's license and, you know, that it was him. So the police get a 911 call. This is how it all went down. It's a 911 call from Dylan. And the first thing he said when they answered the phone, this was like at, remember, he got home at like 11:30 that morning. About 4:30 that afternoon is when they got the 911 call. And he said, we have a suicide. Like, first thing, like, just putting it out there. And so the police come, and we can hear Whitley in the background screaming and carrying on. The police come, and they do a whole 45-minute investigation. That's it. That's all. 45 minutes. And there was a lot of things inside the apartment that just didn't make any sense. Like, as soon as they got there, of course, they had Whitley and Dylan leave the house, and they go in and do their thing. He was in the bathroom upstairs. He had a gunshot wound through the right side of his head. But the bullet was on the right side and the gun was on the left-hand side, wedged between his thigh and the bathtub. Like, it made no sense whatsoever that he could have even shot himself. And so they just didn't even really investigate that it could have been anything else. So they take those two down to the police station and immediately Whitley says, oh, I'm good. They said, we're going to do gunshot residue tests. Immediately she says, oh, I'm going to have it on my hands because I shot guns last night. So they did it, and they both actually tested positive for gunshot residue. Oh, and the gun also was, like, uncocked or whatever. I guess whatever it was in it had, like, a live round in it, which made no sense. If he shot the gun, then there shouldn't have been anything else. And there was, like, a hole in the wall. Anyway, none of it really added up, but nobody really thought anything of it.
Yeah.
Except his family, who was like, this just doesn't make any sense. So they have the gunshot residue test, and that's there, and she says that she had shot guns the night before. And then they start investigating more, and then they find out there's this whole big timeline between when Christian got home at 11:30 that morning until the 911 call was made. One of the weirdest things that happened, or weirdest, but strange thing that happened was that they had the Dylan guy on camera at a bank trying to withdraw all the money out of Christian's bank account with his check card.
With Christian's check card?
Yeah.
What
and
time
he said, hey, it was like at 12:30.
Okay.
And so he tells the lady at the bank that his friend Christian sent him up here with his bank card to withdraw the money. He didn't have a PIN number or anything.
Yeah, and if he really would have, they would have given him the PIN number.
Yeah, he's saying that Christian was back at the apartment taking a nap. They did tell him that Christian was waving the gun and all this stuff when he got home, saying, asking if Whitley loved him and all this. I mean, just really kind of crazy stuff. And nobody in Christian's life believes that any of this happened. She was with some guy the night before.
That she was shooting guns with. And so it happened to be Dylan.
No, there was a whole other guy.
No, I was saying Dylan had gun residue and so did she.
Yeah,
it
just happened to.
Yeah. She said the night before she was shooting guns.
So. Yes. And so she was with some guy named Matt Miller. And I'm
let me cover those.
I think Matt Miller.
Yeah, let me cover those bases. I was shooting guns last night, by the way, before you tested my hands. I mean, just so happens Dylan was shooting guns, too. That's very odd.
Yeah, she also said that she was taking a nap, when it happened, she never heard the gun go off. Dylan said he was at Chick-fil-A, never mentioned going to the bank.
Well, I thought he was waving the gun around.
Taking the money. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's waving the gun around, then she takes a nap. I mean, who takes a nap after your boyfriend's come home all this way, waving a gun around, threatening to, and they said he was threatening to kill himself, which nobody believes because why would he even do that? And so, yeah, she says she was taking a nap and she did not hear the gun go off, that Dylan found him when he got back from Chick-fil-A or wherever it was he said he went. But then later she tells the police that she found him.
And those are what inconsistency story,
so
inconsistent
much.
Stories are what makes you guilty.
Yes. So many inconsistencies, but still, they didn't do anything.
45-minute investigation and it was a suicide.
Yeah, so still, nobody did anything. And then they still ruled it a suicide. Actually, then they ruled it undetermined. And then, and remember, this is in 2014.
Yeah.
So they ruled it undetermined, and then his parents just were not okay with that. And even his mom said, I know people think I'm just a mom who can't wrap my head around my kid committing suicide. She said, that's not it. I mean, it's not it at all. And if you look at his life, there's nothing out there that would indicate anything. Right. I mean, not that you have to be moping around and sad to be depressed. People were depressed and function all the time.
Yeah.
But he was 21. He was on his way to doing what he wanted to do. He lived a really big, full life, but he just came across the wrong people. And so his Christian's parents even have hired forensic investigators, private investigators, all these things, and they all say it was not suicide, was not suicide. But the Meridian Police Department still has done nothing to change that. Like, won't even really engage with the Andreacchios in any way.
I understand why. That's how the medical examiner rules if it's a suicide or not.
Yeah.
And if it was undetermined, then that means,
And it's just that,
evidence.
I think they eventually ruled it a suicide. But even now, like, there's been just a most recent update. So they tried to indict Whitley and Dylan, but the grand jury decided not to indict. But then one of the people who was on the grand jury said that some of the evidence that the DA said was presented to the grand jury was not presented to the grand jury. And the DA there is just dead set that it was a suicide.
In their mind, and that's just how it is.
And that's kind of what happened when, who calls some up first thing and says, we have a suicide?
Yeah.
You know, I'd be like, oh my God, I found my friend is hurt.
He came home and saw that. He doesn't know if somebody came in the house. He wouldn't
or
know
if
anything.
He's dead or alive or anything.
You would think that they would have been able to tell time of death, like if he was dead at 12:30.
Yeah, they did. So they could tell, by the way. I know this is kind of graphic, but I mean, it's just so sad. I mean, and we'll post a picture of Christian. I felt so much for his mom. Like, they did a more recent podcast I listened to that was just basically her talking about Christian. And she's so well-spoken and level-headed. And she's not the person, it doesn't seem to be the person who would think, my son just couldn't do this.
Yeah.
Like, even they said that he had, like, in his room, they had, I guess, stolen like a sign or something, like a street sign that said, bridge out. Something like one of the bridge out signs, and his mom had taken it to the funeral home, and he had like 68 people signed all over me, and those were all of his closest friends. I mean, he wasn't a solitary person, and this Whitley girl she's a piece of work.
He said like he really tried to help people, and then
his mom said he just was really, he wanted to fix things, he wanted to help people, he wanted to take care of people. And then shortly before he died, Whitley told him that she was pregnant. And so he had looked into adding her as the beneficiary on his life insurance policy. So most people believe this was all about money, really, that he was threatening to cut them off. Basically, you've got to get out.
What are the odds that right then, all of a sudden, he goes to the bank and tries to get all the money out?
He comes flying home from Louisiana to kick his girlfriend out, and all of a sudden, he's going to give all of his money.
Dylan goes to the bank. He didn't even go to the bank to try to get his own money.
Who would do that?
I just feel like that's motive, and I don't see why, if he was trying to change the beneficiary. So was she ever pregnant, or did they ever find out?
They never determined that, but he never changed his beneficiary, so she didn't get anything. Little does she know, probably wouldn't have anyway if it was determined a suicide.
Yeah.
Either way.
That's true. Yeah, that's probably, she didn't know that much. She was, 17-year-old kid. She didn't know what she was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, she knew enough how to leech off of somebody and get her way. But.
Yeah, I think she was very manipulative. I mean, so his, brother would say that every time he tried to break up with her, she would extend some story.
And that's probably where the pregnancy came in to play. Oh, you can't break up with me. I'm pregnant now.
But his mom is, not just mom, his mom and his dad. They are still working to get that changed.
Yeah.
Like, she'll never give up.
trying to prove. They definitely will.
Never, ever hear about trying to prove that her son did not commit suicide.
I mean, it could be 20 years after his death, and and you never know, something could happen.
Yeah, she's not going to give it up, but it was just...
Sounds like they need a podcast. They've had one just on this case?
Yes, just on this case. Actually, I listened to it, I don't know if it's been a year or so ago, maybe longer, I don't know when it came out, called Culpable.
Okay, yeah, I know.
But yeah, it's nothing, and there's so much more detail obviously than what I'm going into, but I feel like, I mean, there's really nothing else out there. I mean, I had a really hard time finding
any more information.
Yeah, there's like a 48 hours on it or something like that, and then the Culpable podcast. There might be a couple of other ones out there, but the Culpable, and there's one that's basically just Ray talking about Christian and his life. And Whitley.
I think they Dylan. Just, I just think that a lot of times the police, they want to close the case and move on. They don't want this to be unsolved and for them not to have enough evidence to not be able to arrest these certain people.
Just don't
it makes them look inadequate and then that they can't have enough evidence to arrest these people. So, it's a suicide.
Yeah, even Christian's brother, Josh, said, I would much rather think that the Meridian police were corrupt than just this unqualified to do what they were doing. I guess it was stupid, basically, is what I was saying.
Well, it just doesn't add up. All the other things, like the going to get the money, the inconsistent
story. Oh, and she had phone. There's that semi little thing. So she, when they couldn't find Christian's phone, and the police asked her if she knew where it was, and she lied two or three times.
And that's
she didn't have it. And then she was like, oh, never mind, I forgot I had it.
That's always it.
And there were all these texts on there between them that didn't sound great, but... All those text messages were during the time when she could have had his phone.
Yeah.
And could have manipulated that to make it look like they were texting back and forth.
Oh, because he was making it sound like he was depressed.
Yes. Or that he was so devastated that she was with somebody else and he was going to, you know, kill himself. But that was everything else in his life didn't point to that.
I mean, he could have been, he could
and
have
rigor
been
a... Sorry, I just remembered that. So when they found him, when they got there, like rigor mortis had set in, which takes a pretty good bit of time for that to happen.
To me, that's what I think was the most important time of death.
Yeah, I forgot if we said that a minute ago. And there was like lividity in the back of his calf, I think is what they said. And said the way that he was slumped over the bathtub, that should not have happened. Like if he was slumped over the bathtub, and then there was, I guess it was a 45 was the gun, kind of gun that was used.
Mm-hmm.
And the bullet had actually... So they said ricocheted off the bathtub and was like across the bathtub, but it was a fiberglass. That's a pretty big gun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would have gone straight through that. It wouldn't have.
Yeah, it's not a porcelain bathtub.
Yeah, it wouldn't have ricocheted off. I mean, they just did such a half-assed job of even investigating it. Just right off the bat, I guess they just heard him call and say, "We have a suicide.
We have a suicide."
It's horrible, and they're just like, "Okay."
And it's like they went with want to go with through the effort of everything. I mean, because I just. Yeah, that doesn't add up. I mean, he could have been depressed. He could have been upset about her being with somebody else. That's why he wanted to get off the boat. That could have happened. But it just, you never know when somebody's suicidal.
Well, he told his 12-year-old mom and he was going to boot her out. He said, she's got to go. I got to get off the boat. I need to come home and get her out of my...
Yes. So all the inconsistent stories and then her lying and her and the motive and all that, to me, it just, you know, because you never know if somebody... Yeah. I don't know how many times the people actually have had a suicide and they're like, I saw no signs. I mean, that happens.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
But the lies, the inconsistent stories, that just seems like they need to really reopen that case.
Like
do some more investigating.
And they're not giving up. They're still trying to get the evidence introduced that was not given to the grand jury the first go around.
It's only been, 8 years? So we'll see. Yeah. So hopefully, I mean, we see so many things where cases turn around 20 years later and things like that. So hopefully this case will still be ongoing, and we'll have an update for you.
And I don't know why I felt such a weird, not weird, but like whenever I heard his mom talking, I just felt like this.
A connection to her.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, because she just seemed, not that other moms are not genuine. I don't know how to explain
it. Well, like she was like a logical thinker. Like, okay,
yeah,
This could have happened. Like my son could have done this with no signs, but still these things don't add up.
Yeah, all these things just don't add up. And it, like, they, after Christian died, Whitley and some of the other, they would bully his little sister.
What?
She, like, Ray said that they would.
Probably still trying to get stuff.
Yeah, Terry said it's her fault that he died and all sorts of, I mean, they're just not nice people. And there's a couple of interviews out there, not really, so with Whitley and Dylan's parents, their moms, who obviously are completely on their side.
And then Whitley a little bit, who's changed her hair and stuff because she said her life's just so messed up now. But Christian was the love of her life. And that now they just made her into a, she read some weird poem that she wrote for him.
They made her into like, that they think that she's a bad person, you're saying?
Yeah. And so she just can't live her life now because everything's just gone so bad. I mean, she literally made it the whole thing all about her.
Oh, wow.
The whole thing all about her. So, yeah, that's why.
That's not who the story's about or no, the podcast or anything about. It's about Christian, and that is very sad. This was a sad story.
I feel like nobody really has.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like some of the cases that I do, they're just not super popular cases. They're just things that really resonate with you, and that's how we do it. We have to go with what's
our job.
We want to do what we cases that speak to us, I guess, in a weird way. But on that sad note, we actually have a bonus episode.
We do.
At the end of this episode.
With a special guest.
With a special guest, and it is not sad. Not really, because it's not real. That's why it's not sad. It's kind of a little joke episode, so to lighten the mood.
Yeah, please stay tuned and listen to that.
It is somebody that I do not think you will recognize. But is a producer on this podcast. So.
And especially after you hear that bonus, please go on and rate and review us.
Yes. And I know we've said this lots of times. We're getting a campfire episode together, especially this summer. We're going to do a summer campfire episode. And just, you know, email us at twoblondesleuths@gmail.com. And yes, Spotify. Apple Podcasts, Instagram, Facebook.
Are we on Amazon?
Yeah, we're on Amazon too.
Oh, yeah, we're all over the place.
Just everywhere. Top of the charts. We actually did make the charts.
We did make the charts.
Finally. And we just got an email. I think we were like 185.
That's okay.
On the true crime.
Out of how many?
I mean, thousands and thousands, I would assume. True crime podcast.
I'm going to say there's a bunch, and we're 180. Whatever.
I'm going to say there's 1,000, and we're 185. That's pretty daggum good. Charts.
I don't think that's bad at all.
Yeah, we got to get that top 10.
Thanks, y'all.
Takes a while. But anyway, thank you so much for listening, and
we'll be back next week.
Yep, and we'll see you next week. This is Mandy.
This is Leanne.
And this is Donna.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths. All right. Tonight we have a special guest.
Yes, honey. I'm so excited.
Named Donna.
We're super excited to have you, Donna.
I love this damn podcast.
Thank you so much. We're so happy to have you in the studio.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, baby.
You got your oxygen with you?
Yes.
Donna, why don't you tell the audience?
Hold on, let me light a cigarette real quick.
Donna, we don't usually light cigarettes during.
Oh, baby, I gotta smoke.
Okay, that's fine. Donna, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Just the other day, I have an abusive boyfriend.
You do?
Mm-mm. You do?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, his name's Wayne, right?
Yes, honey. Just the other day, he asked me where all the cigarettes went. And I was so scared, baby, to tell him I smoked them all, but I did.
You smoked them all?
Oh, yeah, a whole pack in one day. Ooh. Not even a full day, half the day. And he came looking for them, and they were gone. I drank smoked them all morning.
Oh, my God, what'd he do?
Well, he grabbed a chunk of my hair.
A chunk of your hair?
Yeah, baby, I have a big bald spot. I can show you right here.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Donna.
So not only did he grab my chunk of my hair, but he grabbed it, and he threw me into our trailer wall. Now there's a huge hole I have to repair all because I smoked a pack of cigarettes.
That's terrible.
But I can't leave him, baby. I just can't leave him. It was my fault because I'm smoking cigarettes.
I know. But he's home all day. He wants to smoke, too. He's on disability, right?
Yeah. He don't need to be, though. He's a full sitter. Disabled my ass. He needs to go out and get himself a damn job. I'm just sick of him. Sitting at home all day, smoking his freaking cigarettes, and gets mad at me when I do the same thing.
That's a double standard, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. You don't drink his beer, do you?
Oh, I don't like beer. I used to be an alcoholic.
Oh.
I had to quit that.
Just cigs now.
Yeah. I used to get off in that vodka. Oh, man. It wasn't just a whole pack of cigarettes back then. It was a whole pack of vodka. Whole thing. It'd be gone by the afternoon. I was messed up.
Easy, Donna.
But I don't do that no more, don't worry. I went to rehab.
Okay, good.
That's good.
Put it on my credit card. It was really expensive.
It smoked, Donna.
I'm sorry. Is that too much for you, baby?
It's all right. I got it.
Okay, good. All right. So what are we talking about today? I want to hear about some murder. That's what I want to do to Wayne.
Donna, you shouldn't say that.
Baby, I was killed. I'm killed.
Hey, my story's kind of sad, Donna. Are you sure?
Oh, man, it's sad.
Yeah, you okay with that?
I might have to leave. I don't need to get upset. I might have to get up in the podcast if I get too upset.
I don't want to push you back.
Okay, let's not do that. No,
stay on the wagon.
I'm trying to be on the wagon, baby, but some stuff just makes me so upset. I just want to get so drunk.
Donna, you probably shouldn't stay here for this story.
Probably not.
Oh, man, I was really excited to be a guest on here.
Maybe next. Maybe, no, we don't have such a...
That's such a deep...
story.
Topic, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it. I understand.
Okay. You got a ride, Donna?
You could go out there and smoke.
Wayne got me. He's waiting outside. Okay. I told him this is my rise to fame, so he's real excited.
Okay. He thinks you're going to get a check?
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
I didn't tell him the truth. I didn't tell him when he get paid. He thinks he's buying a cigarette for the next few weeks. Hell, you may even want the Bud Light to go along with it. But after he threw me in the trailer wall, to make up for it, I went up to the gas station up the street, and I got him like two bags of cigarettes and a pack of Bud Light, and it put me in the hole. I have no money.
Oh, wow. Too bad we can't pay.
I didn't want to get hit again. I didn't want another hole in the trailer. I don't have enough money to repair that one, you know?
I know.
I wish I had a double wide so bad. Wouldn't even matter if I had a small hole in my double wide. It's so big, like a man.
Garden tub. Do they have a garden tub?
Oh, yeah. I don't have one right now, but I really do wish. I love to soak in a tub and light my cigarettes.
All right, Donna. Thank you so much.
All right, I guess I'll go. Okay. All right.
Thanks, Donna.
I don't want to get up in that pocket, so let me go.
Okay, take care.
All right, y'all have a good day. Zoom on sleeves, baby. Number one back. I'm sorry, I misspoke. Number one fan, baby.
That was quite an experience.
Something else. What was that, Donna?
You okay?
I don't think
you all together.
I think so.